All right, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And we will begin in verse 21. For those of you who are, there's some that are new, we are going verse by verse through the book of Matthew, and I don't keep records of it, but these ladies over here do, and we've been 4 years getting to chapter 16, as crazy as that is, but it is, and it takes time, hopefully we can get through the end of the book before I retire. And so, but we're in Matthew chapter 16, begin verse 21. It says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and he said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things which be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Now, last week we covered verse 21, and remind you that the phrase that he uses there, "from that time forth," that's indicating that there's a shift being made in his ministry. He's going to be less public and more private with his teaching. He's going to start putting more and more emphasis on preparing his disciples for the days that lay ahead. Of course, that's going to involve his death, burial, and resurrection. He's preparing them. He's beginning to give them more detail and instruction on what the future holds. And though he has alluded to his death along the way, this is the most pointed declaration that he's made regarding his future. Okay, and so with that being said, Peter being Peter, if you're a student of the Bible, you know he's apt to act very hasty sometimes, and he hears the Lord's words, and he responds very boldly, but yet very foolishly. In verse 22, again, it says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him." The word rebuke there means to censor or to charge, and so in other words, Peter is telling the Lord how wrong he is, okay? If you can imagine that, it's hard for us to grasp that, but it's such a blatant statement, if you will, so foolish that it's hard for us to wrap our mind around. But then when you start thinking about the situation, the setting, everything leading up to this, you got to kind of come to Peter's defense a little bit. I guess you couldn't come to his defense, rebuking the Lord in any case, but you can kind of cut him a little bit of slack, because Jesus was among many other things. He was a friend, a close friend to all the disciples. And in his humanness, he essentially hung out with the disciples all the time. They shared their meals together. They traveled together. They talked for hours on end. They were pretty much inseparable for now a few years, and so that makes a difference. And when you zero in even a little bit closer than that, you discover that of the 12 disciples, Peter, James, and John were part of an even more intimate inner circle. In other words, the three of them had a little more special, I'm not saying Jesus loved them more, but had a little more special connection with Jesus, to the point that there were times that intimate circle of three were invited to be privy to things that the rest of the group weren't. And they would be involved in things that the others were not involved in. So all of that being understood, we might be able to see a little easier how that mistake that Peter's just made could be made. You and I might do the same thing if this is our best friend, our closest friend, telling us, hey, we're about to go to Jerusalem here in a little while, in the future, and they're coming against me, and they're going to kill me. And so to grasp that, you'd have to say, well, he's telling me that my religious friends, the Jewish people, are going to kill him, and he's the Messiah. How is this going to happen, okay? And so this went against everything Peter believed in and everything that he stood for. First of all, it just didn't make sense to Peter, and it wouldn't to anyone, that Jesus is the promised Messiah and that he is going to die at the hands of their Jewish brethren, who were also, by the way, looking for the Messiah. And it would seem like this is the end of the whole Messiah deal, and it's not supposed to play out that way. He knew what the Old Testament said. He knew what the Messiah was supposed to do. And then suddenly, the one that he's convinced is the Messiah says he's about to die. And so that would fly in his face. Secondly, we got to remember that Peter was a man's man. There was no passive pushover sissiness about Peter at all. He was not going to stand still for any kind of injustice to be brought against one of his closest friends, okay? So there would be that part of Peter that just gets his hackles up. His mindset is, hey, they'll do that over my dead body. That's his approach, okay? We're going to go down fighting here, Jesus, is basically the type of attitude he had. So he says to Jesus, he says, be it far from thee. That's kind of like saying, this is the last thing we're going to let happen, essentially, okay? So, of course, he was wrong. We know Peter was wrong, and that's not something any of us would recommend, rebuking the Lord, okay? But he did. And one breath he calls him Lord. In the very verse where he rebukes him, he calls him Lord. So in that breath, he rebukes Jesus. And then, in that breath, he calls him Lord. And the next breath, he rebukes him. So it was very brash, very impulsive, and it's not going to set well, as we're about to see, because his rebuke of Jesus is going to lead to probably the strongest rebuke of an individual that you can find in the scripture. Okay, I mean in short time he's going to get a scathing rebuke from the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and read it. Jesus, it says, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. We'll stop right there. Now, he turned and said unto Peter, the emphasis there paints a picture of a very deliberate, intense focus. In other words, he's turned his full attention to the apostle or the disciple Peter. And it was not a casual thing. It wasn't, well, he's turning to look at him to respond. It's it was more of a like when you talk back to mama and she says, come here, look at me, look at me. You know what I'm saying? And you know it's fixing to get rough. Okay, well, this is the type of situation. Jesus is turning to him intently to say what he's about to say. And I'm quite sure Peter at this point is shocked and at the response he's getting, and all of Jesus' attention is on Peter, and I'm sure Peter's like, oh no, I've messed up now. This wasn't the first time Peter's messed up, and it's not going to be the last time he messed up, but this is the one that brought the strongest rebuke that he'd ever received from Jesus. And the words that follow is going to skin him from head to toe. He says there in the next few verses, he says, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. You know, it's bad enough if mama says, you little devil. But when Jesus calls you Satan, that is a whole different situation, okay? And it's not that Jesus is saying this like, we do, you little devil, that would be an insulting remark. It's not that Jesus is saying this to Peter to insult him, because Jesus was not into junior high name calling or anything like that. He was perfect, okay? And so that's not it at all. He's really essentially making a declaration of truth to Peter. It's not heat of the passion, just calling him a name or anything else. But he's essentially saying, you desire for Satan's work to be done more than God's will, okay? John MacArthur, in his commentary on this, says that essentially Jesus is saying, you are being Satan's mouthpiece. You're inspired by Satan. So this is a really, really serious thing that Jesus, not accusing him of, because it's more than an accusation. He's stating, this is what you're doing, Peter. And he's saying, Peter, what you've just said came from the devil. Now, let's back up just a few verses to a previous study that we've several weeks ago, but you'll be reminded, you'll remember it when you see it. Notice in verse 15, when Jesus back there, six verses earlier, says, Jesus saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Okay, remember that study? Now, verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, Peter was exactly right. Very solid answer, okay? Notice how Jesus responded now. This is the same disciple, Peter, the same setting, about the same time. And he gives such a profound answer to Jesus' question that he gets a really good response. Notice verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. What? But my Father which is in heaven. Jesus is saying, good answer, Peter. And you got it from God. God gave that to you. Then in just five verses, they haven't even left this particular setting, okay? In just five verses, Peter equally as foolishly makes a statement as he had done wisely five verses earlier, okay? And he says, this ain't gonna happen, Jesus, to paraphrase. And what does Jesus ascribe that answer to? The other one, he says, the Father gave it to you. Now he's saying, you got that from the devil. You got those words from the devil. Wrong answer from the wrong influence is what he's telling Peter. And you think about this, how quickly this transition from hearing from God to hearing from Satan took place. We call it five verses. It might have been a day. It might have been just hours. We don't know. The scripture doesn't zero in enough for us. But we know this, that you can go from hero to zero in a short period of time. If the Apostle Peter could do it, then you and I could do it the same way. Yeah. You see, Satan knew then what he still knows today. He knows that the cross equals defeat. Satan knows that. There's no question about it. And that's why he opposed the work of the Lord Jesus Christ so vehemently when Jesus was walking the earth. He didn't want him to go to the cross. And when he did go to the cross, he certainly wanted him to stay in that grave. He did not want, when he come out of that grave, that meant he defeated death. And so Satan knew then that what mankind needs is deliverance. He needs redemption from sin, and he needs deliverance from Satan himself, and he needs deliverance from death. And he knew that if Jesus was able to go to that cross and come out of the grave, all of that would be taken care of. So he didn't want it to happen then, and he still today, now that it has happened, the victory's been won, he doesn't want individuals like you and I coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and having that salvation appropriated to us. And so this was the work of Satan that caused Peter to speak that way. Now let's move forward. Jesus says there, and he says, thou art an offense unto me. Now that word offense simply means stumbling block, and a stumbling block is something that gets in the way, right? something that obstructs the path forward or hinders progress, a stumbling block, stops you in your tracks or trips you up. And so he's essentially saying, you're getting in the way of my work, Peter. When he says you're an offense to me, he's saying you're a stumbling block to me. You're getting in the way of my work. Jesus' work was to redeem mankind, and that was not going to be able to take place without sacrifice and atonement. And sacrifice and atonement wouldn't take place unless he died, unless he was crucified, okay, or his life was given as a sacrifice. And so the eternal plan is death, burial, and resurrection, and Jesus knows that, and Peter's plan is otherwise. He doesn't want this to take place. And so Jesus points out his motive. We know what his influence is. Jesus already said the influence came from Satan. What's his motive? He goes on. It's purely selfish. He goes on to say, you're an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Thou savorest means you're mindful. You're thinking on the things that be of man. You're not thinking of what God's will is. Peter was just thinking about the human side of things, the temporal, not the eternal. And like each of us, Peter would never consciously choose against God's plan. You wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't do that, okay? And he certainly would never voluntarily fall into Satan's plans, and you wouldn't do that, and I wouldn't do that. We wouldn't want to promote Satan's agenda for anything, okay? But oftentimes, just like Peter has done here, when we set out to see that the things are done according to our will and according to the way we want them, oftentimes it's running contrary to the plan of God, just like Peter has done here. And so we got to be really cautious that we don't let our own selfish desires get in the way of what God may be trying to accomplish. And in this case, Jesus is accomplishing something pretty important, the redemption of mankind, okay? And Peter's desire is for it to go the other way. So his reasoning was wrong. His reasoning obviously coming from a finite, sinful mind. And so Peter found himself lining up with Satan more than he was lining up with God in his thoughts, okay? And that made him in opposition to what God knew was best. He was wanting what he thought was best, and that put him in opposition of what God knew was best. And so Peter, once again, he's got himself in a little bit of trouble, but he's still a great man, and we're going to give him a second chance, and we'll see next time we're together. We'll pick up in verse 24 and see what we can learn next. Okay, appreciate you guys very much. Look forward to seeing you back here Sunday. Bring somebody with you, okay? If everybody brings somebody with you this next Sunday, we'll have twice as many people. I know math. And so that's what I do is math, okay? So bring them in. All right, let's stand and be dismissed. And we'll see you on Sunday. Jeffro, will you lead us in prayer, please?